Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Butterfly Talk. This is the monthly radio show / podcast that features the focuses on education about epidermolysis bullosa, understanding, support, and encouragement, tips and general information regarding advocacy and need for awareness, all about BB, basically. My name is Sylvia. I'm your host, and I'm also an EB mom. My son, Nikki, is 18 years old and has the recessive dystrophic form of EB, just like today's guest. Today's guest is Dara Nicole Sabo. Welcome, Dara.
Thank you. Hello. I'm so glad to be here.
Yay! Yay! All right, so let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I'm 30. I live down the hill in Rancho Cucamonga. I'm a writer. I've written 3 books that have been published, and I'm working on a 4th, and my books are pretty much EB-based. I like to do all kinds of things. I'm always out and about. As for my family, my mom is an ortho assistant and has been for 20-plus years. My dad is in sales as far as, like, promotional things for different offices, like business cards and pens and anything that they need as far as that. I have a 20-year-old sister who is a senior at Liberty University, and she's majoring in biblical studies. And then I have a brother who's 18, and he just graduated high school about 2 weeks ago. So.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I knew you had a brother. I knew you had a sister but not a brother. All right, Sal.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the, you know, my second question here is important for me because I always like to learn more. How mm-hmm. old were you when you first realized you were different?
I think I was about 5. It was, I remember this. It's the night before my first day of kindergarten, and my mom and I were sitting in my room on my bed, and, you know, she's asking me if I was nervous or if I was ready for my first day. And all of a sudden, she kind of pokes my arm, and she's like, "Ew, what happened to you?" And I kind of start freaking out, looking at her like, "Mom, what are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm trying to prepare you because you're going to, you know, be in a classroom full of kids, and even though everybody's different, your difference is more noticeable. And so kids may not always come up and respond in a nice way of just like, oh, hi, what's your name, or, you know, what happened with you?" And so I was like, okay. And so she just kind of prepared me just for how different I was. And sure enough, the first day, some little boy came up and was like, "Ew, what happened to you?" And I just told him what my mom told me to say, and I just said, "I was born with ED." And he goes, "Oh, okay, you want to go play?" I was like, "Sure." So about 5 years old is when I noticed that with the ED that you're different, a little more different than the other kids on the playground.
Okay, so that was the very first time. So was that your mm-hmm. your basically go-to when kids asked you what's wrong with you or what's different, you know, what's going on? You would say, "I was just born with ED."
Yeah, I would just introduce myself, you know. I'd be like, "My name's Dara," and I would say EB because, you know, for kids it's a lot easier probably to understand 2 little letters than the whole, "I was born with epidermolysis bullosa." And for the most part, kids were just kind of like, "Oh, okay, you know, she answered my question, you know, what am I going to do here?"
Yeah, exactly. How cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what is the best advice you've ever been given about EB itself or coping with it?
It was actually quite a few years ago. I was online, and I read this quote, and it said that, "I am who I am, your approval isn't needed." And I just kind of sat back in my chair reading that, and it made me realize that that is so true, because growing up with EB, you're wanting to fit in, you're wanting to make friends, especially at school, so you're not the kid left out. And so you start to figure out or find out what these other kids are into, and you start to be like, okay, I can dress like that, I can listen to that kind of music, I can act like that. But as the more you do that, I found with myself, I was kind of losing bits and pieces of who I was, and all of a sudden I was bits and pieces of all these other people because I wanted friends. And after reading that quote, I thought, you know what? I can't be everybody else. I have to be me. And
absolutely.
I started slowly just all of a sudden, you know what? I dress the way I like to dress. I listen to the kind of music I do. I do the things I do. And if I end up meeting people along the way and they want to be friends, that's great. And if not, that's okay too. You know, I have to be me, not be everybody else.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, I'm a big quote freak, and quotes just help me every day, you know. So I can totally get you there, you know. They make you, they give you strength, you know, in all the different ways. Now, what is the worst part of having EB for you?
I think for me is, you know, I mean, I find different ways of doing things, and sometimes I have to take extra time to figure out how to do something and be more creative, but there are those days where, you know, it's probably just been a long day. It's been a chaotic day. And I just want to be able to, like, go in the kitchen and open a jar. I don't want to have to, like, figure out how I'm going to open it. I don't want to have to ask for help to open it. I just want to be able to do it. And then that's another thing that's hard for me, too, is I'm extremely stubborn when it comes to asking for help. I want to figure it out. I want to get it done myself. And so, I mean, you ask anybody in my family or any of my friends, I mean, they'll say, Dara, can I help you? And it's like, no, I've got this covered. So the biggest thing about asking for help for me, it's still kind of a lesson being learned for me. You know, I'm slowly like, all right, can you help me real quick and this and that? And so I think it's little things like that. It's just like, oh, I just want to be able to do it. I don't have to take the time to figure this out.
All right, so how has been your experience on getting bandages or anything else covered by insurance? I know that's a big issue with me.
Yeah, as far as the bandages, I don't go through the insurance with bandages because a lot of the stuff they cover I've tried, but it ends up sticking or I end up having some type of bad reaction to it. And so I actually go to Walmart. And I buy my own bandages because I use Johnson & Johnson's nonstick pads in a couple different sizes. I use their gauze. And then I buy, I found the best ointment, actually two best ointments for me to switch back and forth from is either bacitracin or the creamy Desitin, which we know is usually found in the baby section for diaper rashes. But those two have worked. And I've just found from trial and error, it's easier for me to just buy my own stuff at Walmart or Target as far as bandages, then use the stuff the insurance companies would cover. As far as doctor's appointments and, like, prescriptions and referrals to see specialists, I've never really had a problem having the insurance cover it. I've never really had them, you know, say we're not going to cover this or whatever. There were a couple times during some hand surgeries when I was littler that they were like, you know, they would call my mom and ask her, does she really need this? Because they were thinking hand surgery more of cosmetically, not medically.
Oh, I see.
And so we had some issues with that. But when I was older and lost my vision, I don't remember a whole lot of the insurance companies being like, you know, rejecting it or anything. So the only thing is, it's hard sometimes. I'll admit that when I need to get a referral to see a specialist, you know, it's, you're waiting forever on the phone. Sometimes the people are not the nicest. You know, they're kind of rude. And then, you know, sometimes it's waiting around forever to get the referral.
Yeah, so they don't call you back.
Exactly. You know,
I faxed it and they never did, or somebody never gets it. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'll call Monday and it's now like, you know, the week goes by so fast, and all of a sudden it's like Friday, and it's like, okay, I haven't heard back from him, so you call again, and it's just like, it's like a game of tag.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell me all about your books. How did it all start?
Well, I had actually been looking, I'm a huge bookworm, and I had actually been looking in bookstores to see if anybody had written any kind of book on what it's like living with EB. And I couldn't find anything. And even my cousin back east was looking, and she's like, Dara, I can't find anything either. So one weekend, my parents took my brother and sister camping, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stay home. And I just started writing. And by the end of the weekend, I had it done, and I submitted it out, and someone picked it up, and it just kind of went from there.
Okay, wow, that's awesome. Awesome. Now, so far you've written, what it? Three or four?
Three books.
How many? You wrote three. Now, wasn't there one about your grandpa? Was that like just a picture book? Or
that was the last one. No.
Tell us the titles. Tell us the titles.
It's just called Carl because that was his first name, and I thought that was just like a perfect title for his dedication book.
Yeah.
And it just goes down the memories I had of spending time with him and stuff. And there's a part kind of in the middle near the end to where it talks about, too, how a lot of things happened in our family. So I lost a lot of time being able to spend time with him. And then by the time we ended up, you know, everybody kind of forgiving each other for things that had happened, he ended up becoming very sick with cancer. And so the time I had with him, it ended very shortly, and I had a hard time dealing with all that. So it talks about the memories, but it talks about kind of that and then me going through what I did just to get to that place.
Now, your EB books, now you wrote, what, two of those so far?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're called, give us the title.
Yeah, the first one's called Jars of Broken Hearts, and the second one is called EB, some call it epidermolysis bullosa, but I call it extraordinarily beautiful.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us
mm-hmm.
what they talk about specifically, each book.
The first one, Jars of Broken Hearts, it is based off my life and kind of like a biography, but I kind of put a spin on it as it's kind of almost like one of those scary kind of stories you would tell around the campfire. And so it's more of kind of, yeah, it's kind of more of like that thing. It is about growing up with EB and stuff. It just has that spin on it. So whereas the second book, I actually talk about, it's more of a memoir. You know, it's not spun into anything. It's just point blank what it is. But what I love about that book is I had my family members and my best friend each write a piece in there of what it was of what it's like, you know, having a daughter or a sister or a friend that has EB and how it impacts their life, because I know it does. EB doesn't just impact me. I know it impacts everybody around me. And so it was really great to get their views and their thoughts on that as well.
Oh, that's really nice. I know mm-hmm. I got your first book. I didn't get the second one. I need to get it. Now, mm-hmm. What is the one thing that you wish you could do the most that you cannot?
You know, I can do a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty good at being creative on if I can't do something like a normal person would do on how I can do it. But I'd have to say is I wish I could do the sport thing, and it probably sounds a little crazy, but if I didn't have EB, I would probably be huge into snowboarding, because I just think it's so cool the way they just the flips and the tricks, and I'm sure you get quite the adrenaline rush from it. And so the sport thing is something big that I would be pretty big into if I didn't have the EB to worry about.
Just snowboarding, or was there other sports you would be doing?
Probably snowboarding, surfing.
Surfing.
If I was able to drive and stuff, if I didn't have to worry about all the laws and everything, it sounds terrible, but I would be like the Fast and Furious. I would probably be a streetcar racer too. I would.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, what is your pain level on a normal day?
You know, I have to say, on a normal day, my pain level's pretty much a zero. And
okay.
I think it's attributed to a lot of things. Like, I'm always out and about, even if I'm staying at home just for the day. I mean, I have, like, a schedule. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I'm running around everywhere. And so having, you know, things to do, but also making sure getting an exercise to keep, like, my knees and my elbows, all those joints, you know, mobile and flexible. And I think, too, eating, because my doctors have told me, you know, I mean, healing from the inside out, food has to do a lot with it. And so making sure you're eating and eating healthy and all that has to do with it as well. And also, I think, just your attitude, because I noticed that there was a time where I was depressed and I could start to feel it physically. You know, because you don't want to get out of bed or you don't want to move around a whole lot, but then you really start to stiffen up, especially if you have a wound on your kneecap or where a joint is. It's just you don't feel like moving.
Yeah.
And those days, the pain level, you know, was pretty up there. But, you know, just being out and about and stuff, I'm thankful that on a normal day, it's a zero, because I've had those days and they're just, they're not fun at all.
Wow. So describe a normal day for you.
Normal day for me is pretty much getting up and getting showered up and dressed, grabbing breakfast, whether it's here or somewhere, and I'm usually like making a list on my phone of like everything I have to do that day. And it's also, you know, checking the social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that. And then it's, if it stays at home, I mean, I'm cleaning or I'm, you know, cooking or doing laundry, or in the afternoons if I'm at home, I like to sit out on the patio with my dog and I'm reading a book and writing and blogging. If I'm out and about, it's running errands or it's meeting friends or whatever for lunch or movies or... And it all depends. It's like on a day-to-day basis. It's like, all right, what do I have to do today? So it's kind of like organized chaos.
That's good. So what do you do for fun?
I'm a big movie buff. I love going to the movies. I love going to the beach. I actually get cabin fever and a little nuts if I don't hit the beach at least like 3 times during the summer. I love to go out and eat, but then I also love to cook at home and like try to recreate the dishes I had at whatever restaurant and stuff. And I like to do a lot of stuff out. And then there's days where I like to stay in and just like cook or watch movies or read or, you know, I love to dance.
Go ahead.
And then I'm a kind of a video game nerd. And so, you know, I've got the Wii, so I'm on there doing stuff and just all kinds of stuff.
Now, what is it that you cook? What's your favorite thing to cook?
I have to say Italian because I love pasta and you can do so much with it, with the sauces and what you're adding to it, and then like side dishes with like salads or different breads and stuff. So I'd probably say like Italian food.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know. Now, how has been your school experience?
When I was in school, I have to say, like, elementary was good. I had, you know, I actually had quite a few friends and stuff. I also did junior high. Junior high, I started noticing a little bit more on how kids can tease in a more mean way and how you can kind of get into the bullying thing. High school was the most challenging and difficult because I was bullied by one in particular girl, and I was also going through a lot of emotional things just with myself, because during that time, halfway through high school, I was losing my vision, and we were also having a house built, so I was moving like in the middle of high school, and so all those things just kind of snowballed, and so high school was a little more challenging, and plus with losing my vision, I had a lot of teachers and stuff saying that I wasn't going to graduate on time and this and that, so it was just a lot going on. But for the most part...
Tell me a little bit about this problem that you had with your vision. What happened?
What was happening is my eyelids, the tissue underneath the eyelids was fusing down, actually onto my eyeball, into my cornea. And it was, as it was fusing more and more, it was obstructing my vision and making things more blurry. The left eye had done that when I was little, so I was actually growing up seeing really just out of my right eye. And we have gone to doctors. A lot of doctors didn't know what to do. You know, they tell me we can't do anything till this happens, so we'd wait. That would happen, and then they say, well, now it's gone too far down, so now we can't do anything. And I have to say I was really starting to lose hope that I was going to see again. I don't remember who it was, but a doctor recommended another doctor. He was young. His name's Dr. Siegel. I still see him today. Wow. He saw what was going on, and he knew of a surgeon at the Children's Hospital in L.A. who was doing a kind of an experimental thing with amniotic membrane tissue. It had never been done before, but my vision couldn't have gotten any worse, so I was kind of their guinea pig with all of it, and I went from not being able to see at all to 20/20 vision.
Wow.
So, yeah, it worked out great, and
wow, that's what. And how long ago was that then? And you haven't had any problems since?
No, I had my first surgery a week before my high school graduation in 2002, and then I had the second surgery that same year in October. I would probably say after a couple of years of doctor's appointments and recovering and all that, probably since about 2004 till now, my vision's been 20/20, and there's been no scarring or anything.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what do you want everyone to know about you?
I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, I'm just very down to earth and stuff, and I enjoy living life because it took me a while to get to this point, but I finally realized it's the only one you get, and you have a choice on whether or not to enjoy it or not enjoy it, but once it's done, you don't get to say, oh, hold up, let me have a redo. And
right.
So I just decided to enjoy it, and, you know, if you have a bad day once in a while, as we all do, as long as you're blessed to have another day, I mean, take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what do you wish was different in our society that could help EB patients?
Our society, and I wish we weren't like this, but we are very into labeling people. And we label people without even knowing who they are or even without saying hello. I mean, you take a two-second glance at someone, and you just base an opinion off of how they look, and you slap a label on them. And I think that's wrong, you know, because when you start labeling everybody, then it's like you have all these, it's like high school, you have all these groups, and, well, you've got that label, so you're not cool enough to hang out with us, you got to stay over there. And I just think if people just said a simple hello and got to know other people and stopped labeling and all that, that whether you have a disability or you don't, you would just get to the point where you realize we're all humans, we're all walking around this earth, and, you know, we're all different, so, you know, have a better attitude towards everybody instead of, you know, all this opinionated kind of snarkiness towards everyone.
I agree.
You know?
I think we really, as a society, we need to be a little bit more loving, more accepting, more, we're all in this together, after all, you know,
we're
on planet Earth. It doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your religion, nothing matters. We're all here, we're all the same, and so we need to love one another. I always say that. But so anyway, now before I, let me see, tell everyone how to find your blog, where to get your books, etc.
My blog is called Genuinely Dara, and it's found on WordPress.com. And then my books, you can pretty much type in my name in, like, Amazon or Barnes & Noble online, any kind, or Books A Million or that kind of thing. Anywhere online, you can type in either my name or the title of the books, and they'll pop up everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Now, tell me, now that I'm out of questions and we have 7 minutes left on the show, I wanted to ask you, your first name, where does it come from? Because it's a little unusual, right?
Yes,
Dara.
You don't hear Dara often, yeah. My mom, I don't quite know where it originates from, but my mom is German and Norwegian. And then my father's side is Irish. So it's either Irish, German, or Norwegian. I think it's more towards my mother's side with the German.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's... Yeah,
so
usually when
name,
I hear, hey.
The name, so she never told you how she came up with your name?
Well, actually, my dad came up with it, and I don't know how he did. I think it was he heard it somewhere, and he just thought it was really pretty. And then I think my mom was like, okay, well, we'll do the middle name, Nicole. And then you had Dara Nicole. So I was like, I like it because it's unique. And so when someone says Dara, I turn around, and more than times than not, it's someone who knows me because it's not a common name to where, you know, the person would have to keep saying it over and over, and it's like, oh, I didn't know you were calling me.
So now, Sabo, what ethnicity is that? Is that Irish? It doesn't sound Irish, but...
Well, actually, my dad that I have now, he and my mom met when I was a year and a half. He's Hungarian. My biological father is Irish, but...
He
hasn't been in the picture for the longest time. And so when I was six, my dad, who I have now, he adopted me. And Sabo comes from, actually, it's Hungarian. Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm really big into genealogy. And so I love hearing different last names. And I don't think I've heard Hungarian last names before. So my husband has an amazing family tree. He goes back in every country in Europe, except for, I don't think he's got Hungary in there, so that's why it didn't sound familiar. So
yeah,
it's unique, you know, which is a good thing. You know, you don't need to be different. Why do we all need to be the same, right? Now we have five more minutes. Did you want to talk about anything else? Do you want to say anything else?
You know, I just think that as far as, like, with ED and stuff, you know, we all have, if you look down to it, we all have something wrong. We all have some type of disability. It's just some of us can't hide ours as well as others. And so I just think that, like I said earlier, we're all humans. We're all here. We all breathe. You know, just have common courtesy towards everybody. And I think that, in all honesty, if everyone just had common courtesy towards everybody and stuff, it would really start to just kind of ripple effect in just how people acted in general. You know, less rage and less, you know, attitude towards everybody and all that.
Yeah, less hate, less, you know, negativity.
Yeah.
We need to try to stay positive as much as possible day by day. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you, Dara, today.
Yes,
thank you so much for being a guest today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, thank everybody for listening to Butterfly Talk. If you would like to be a guest, please send me a message either on the Blog Talk page for this show or my ebinfoworld.com Facebook page. This is the best way to get in touch with me. Till next month, ciao.